Hey everybody. So, just a heads up that the audio quality on this episode is a little bit below my standards, and but I felt like the content was good enough that I wanted to get this out anyway. But unfortunately, the way we had to coordinate this episode was to record with more than one person while I was driving, and I thought that that might have been a little bit better since the last time we tried it, and. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming around, and I hope that you enjoy the content. We'll be back to normal next week. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the show.
Hello, welcome to Off Curve. This is Wicked Good, and I am talking to you about Hearthstone as I am driving home from work. It is Monday, October 7th, 2019. It is one day before the Doom of the Tomb event, and, you know, this feels like a card review episode. And I cannot do a card review episode without my partner in crime. So I am very happy to welcome your friend of mine, Andrew Brown, from the Happy Hearthstone to the show. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm good. I am happy now. I probably would not have been happy had you tried to review without me. I would have been hurt deeply, but...
I mean, you know, there are just some things that a bro doesn't do, you know?
But I'm really excited to talk about these cards, man. It's, you know, some of them, it's funny, we actually have reviewed. Or actually, I'm looking at them right now. I don't know that you and I actually reviewed any of these cards, so we'll get our thoughts out.
We must have.
We started with Journey to Hongoro, and none of these cards are from then or sooner.
Oh, really?
They're all pre that. So we actually haven't gone on record talking about these cards together.
Huh. This was the Josh Augustine era of Happy.
It was, yeah.
Wow.
But regardless, we'll give them our best, because we have been playing this game for a while and have some thoughts about even old cards. So.
Yeah, and while this is not the Happy Hearthstone, we are not going to go into fully why we're happy. I think we should kind of talk about the exciting news that dropped today before we get into it, which is that you and I, my friend, are going to be on a panel at World of Podcasts at Calm Before the Storm.
This is going to be like so much good stuff happening all at once. And I may not say anything coherent all day, honestly, because it's just, it's too much goodness at once. It was enough just to meet you in person, but now we're going to get to do this. It's going to be awesome.
So. I'm so incredibly excited. And it's going to be Joss from The Angry Chicken and Deck Tech from BlizzPro and Bodicus from Point Conceded and Major Death from Dr. Three. And I'm so like, this is just like, if I could have a dream panel, like, this is pretty close to it, and I'm just, like, beyond excited. I mean, I'm beyond excited just because it's going to be my first BlizzCon, and I'm going to get to hang out with you and Hat and Bodicus and Major Death and Deck Tech and everybody else who's going to be there, and also be on this panel is just, like, it's really cool. So I'm really, really excited, and I'm really excited that you're going to be there with me, so.
Me too, man. It'll be good times all around.
All right, so... We don't have a lot of time, so this commute is not as long as a card review episode. So, and since I am actually driving, I am going to ask you to read the cards out, and then we can talk about them, since you're stationary and I'm not. So,
maybe we should talk about the neutral ones first, and then we can get into the class cards. Does that work?
Yeah.
So we got Ragnaros the Fire Lord. He's kind of the big boy of Hearthstone. 8 mana, 8/8 element. Can't attack, but at the end of your turn, deal 8 damage to a random enemy. All right, this was one of the first two cards moved into the Hall of Fame.
Like, I remember running into Tempo Mage way back when. Just like that, it was like that was the discussion was, is do you run like Antonidas or Ragnaros at the top end? And
sure.
So even like, you know, a lot of the Highlander decks that are running like Octisari, I can see them fitting in. And I think it's also relevant, even if you're not putting into your deck, like Mogu Flesh Shaper and Mutate is going to pull this some percent in time now. So even like if you're not running into the deck, you're still going to have it. And, you know, I mean, I think that there's probably room for some sort of like a big shaman. I don't know that this necessarily needs to go that far, but I'm sure that, you know, like Eureka shenanigans and stuff like that could happen. But I think any Highlander deck is probably just going to run it just because you can find a slot for it.
Yeah, he's just good. You just slam him down. Like, the only thing he's not good is against token strategies. So if you see much, I'm trying to think, like Battlecry Shaman, it might not be great against, or if Token Druid picks up again.
Even Quest Druid, to some extent, when they go wide with like a Scenarios or a Ferris or something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited to have him back. I mean, it's he reigned once. I think he's going to reign again, at least for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we played Baku in Mage just to sometimes get Rakdos on board. So you should be able to put it in your deck. I think it's probably going to be okay.
And are we going to give these scores? I don't think we talked about it, but I assumed with reviews we need to, right?
All right, we can do that. I mean, it's probably going to be a 5. Like, this is going to be like the premier card.
Absolutely. And then his mistress of sorts is Sylvanas Windrunner, the 6-mana 5/5 death rattle, take control of a random enemy minion. I mean, in the same way Rag just slotted into 8 into so many decks, Sylvanas does the exact same thing. What's really scary is now we have a lot more tools to take advantage of death rattles than we did before. So I think she's possibly going to be even more scary than she was back then in some decks.
I'm so excited to slot her into a priest deck with things like Wretched Reclaimer and Psycho Pump. Like, let me tell you. I was playing. What the hell was I playing? Oh, it was in Wild. I was playing Duin's Jade Rogue. And I was playing against Bitbeaker in an 80 gold quest. And he was playing that deck with, I don't know if you've seen this, I don't know how much you play Wild, but there's a deck where you have like Cruel Dinomancer, which summons a minion that you've discarded, and that card that discards the most expensive card in your hand.
Oh, right.
Gives you 2 copies back. Uh-huh. So like every time you die, every time it dies, it just fills the board up with them. And I was able to just keep like killing Sylvanas and taking them and not letting him actually do it. And with things like Wretched Reclaimer and Psycho Pomp, like, and the Zoth, which we'll talk about, like, I am very much looking forward to slotting that into the first deck. I am looking forward to annoying a lot.
I think there's going to be a theme for you. You're like reclaiming your old identity, truly, because Control Priest is going to have a heyday with these cards.
Oh, yeah. I'm really looking forward to playing some good old Control Priest.
It's a good day.
And just making some people upset.
It's a good day for Steve Lubitz.
Yeah.
Sylvanas gets an easy 5.
Yeah. I think she'll see a fair amount of play, and certainly
the Priest. Next, we've got the Curator, 7-mana, 4/6 mech with taunt, but his battle cry is really why you play him. Draw a beast, dragon, and murloc from your deck.
And this is weird, right? Because, like, we used to play this when Azure Drake was a thing, because we had dragons in every deck, and we had generally a beast in every deck, and you just kind of slot in with a Light Oracle. Now, it's kind of, we have a beast and a murloc in every deck, and we don't really have a dragon. I do wonder if, like, Brightwing and a Quest Shaman could work. I think that, you know, you play Witchwood Piper now, so you can at least use that in the same slot. It's a little bit more expensive, but it also has Taunt, which is relevant because not a lot of stuff in Quest Shaman does have Taunt. So maybe that makes it worth it. I don't know. It's a little bit harder to work into a deck.
Yeah, it was interesting because the Curator saw so much play, and then we got Countess Ashmore, which we thought was going to be Curator 2.0. But it seems like these tribal tags are a lot more, they can just fill in a lot more slots than necessarily like mechanics and keywords can. So it'll be interesting because you mentioned Coldlight Oracle, which we don't have anymore. I don't know what the beasts and dragons that we were pulling. Oh, you mentioned Azure Drake, and we don't have that too.
We were pulling Stampede.
Oh, yeah. So he has a chance, and I think that the more control-oriented decks that love drawing a lot of cards all at once are really going to like that. I don't know that he fits in anything now, but it's interesting to think, like, Battlecry Shaman, Quest Shaman is already running Murlocs and maybe could fit in Brightwing and stuff. So, yeah, it should be interesting. He's probably right around a 4, though, too, in my book.
Yeah, maybe a 3, just because I'm a little bit less big on him. But I think that there might be it's something. It may just be too slow in this meta.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
Yeah. And it's interesting that so far we've talked so much about control decks. I don't know if these big beefy minions are going to be exactly what they need. You know, they need stuff to deal in the early game in order to craft over. So you might be right.
Right.
So I'm cool with that. And then the other one that we knew about was N'Zoth the Corruptor, 10-mana, 5/7, battle cry, summon your death rattle minions that died this game. And I know you've been waiting for this moment, Steve, so I'll give it to you. Please, please.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the problem with Resurrect Priest is that you're resurrecting a bunch of weird cards that, like, you're resurrecting Psycho Pomps, and, like, you can't play Wretched Reclaimer because it's just, like, a bad thing to resurrect. But, like, with N'Zoth, because it's targeted, you can put in just the death rattle you want to resurrect. So you could play, like, two Convincing Infiltrators, two Cartoon Defenders, and Sylvanas, and probably be fine. and then you can put in some of those other utility minions and actually play like a legit control priest with an endgame mm-hmm. condition. So, and you're going to get like four cartoon defenders out because each one of those that dies comes back.
Yeah, it.
So you don't really even
need it'll be interesting with those defenders to think like, do you even want to run two of those because they fill up your board? I mean, I guess that's what you want out of N'Zoth, but I think the reason we used to use him is to bring back a lot of really heavy hitters like Sylvanas. I'm trying to think of what else there was, but
Void Lords.
Yep. No, that's right. And you were worried about the board state for those also. I mean, N'Zoth is just mass resurrection on steroids, and I think it's going to like enable a lot of control stuff. Don't forget about control Pally, which has Tyrion to bring back also. Like there's, like N'Zoth is just worth it to res that, you know? So it'll be interesting to see how he fits in. He's probably a five for his potential for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's going to get used. No question. He's going to get used. He was too slow for a while, but he'll no longer.
Yeah. So those are all the neutral cards that we have coming back. So let's talk about Druid. We've got Astral Communion, which is a 4-mana spell. Gain 10 mana crystals, discard your hand. Power comes with a price, I hear.
Do we need this? Like, this feels like a meme to me. Just because you have Nourish in Quest Druid now, like, do we need a big Druid? Because, like, you're already doing big things. Like, you're not going to, like, you don't really have a use case to play this outside of, like, a Quest Druid. And I don't think you're really going to play it in a Quest Druid. So, I mean, there was, like, a big Druid with, like, both Deathwings and Bog Creepers and whatever back then. But even then, that was a meme deck. I don't see that.
It's really weird because with them announcing Rag and N'Zoth right out the gates, it was like, whoa, we're going to have 23 hugely impactful cards. And then there's a few of them like this that's like, they obviously just put this in because of the fun factor. Like, I think Astral Communion fits in those style of decks like Burgle Rogue was before the quest happened more recently, where it's a really popular deck because people like playing it and figuring it out. I mean, the times you do draw Astral Communion and can coin it out on three, it's exhilarating. And then the potential of you snowballing is really fun. But like you said, it's probably not going to be competitive viable. It's honestly like a one, like overall, I think.
I just realized why they're bringing this back. Because puzzle box is a thing.
And this will absolutely kill your puzzle box. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Myra's is bad enough, but this will happen.
Oh, discarding your card.
But yeah, it's a one.
And then the other one is a little more interesting. Kun the Forgotten King is a 10-mana 7/7. Choose one, gain 10 armor, or refresh your mana crystals. And he's like a combo activator. We had Aviana and Kun back in the day. We don't have Aviana coming back. So the question is, can Kun be taken advantage of now? Like, refreshing your mana crystals means that he's basically a free 7/7, which is fine. And honestly, there were some Jade Druids that just liked running this in the mirror, especially because getting a free 7/7 is really good. Quest Druid, I don't know that you really play this. I mean, I guess it's more armor, actually, along with Hidden Oasis. It may not be bad.
I mean, I think that it's going to make its way into tournament lineups for sure, just because Holy Wrath Paladin is a thing.
Yeah.
So, like, generally, the way that you're trying to beat Holy Wrath Paladin is you're trying to use Hidden Oasis and some combination of Ferocious Howls to kind of out-armor it. And if you can fit in an extra 10 armor, then you're with just like one hidden oasis and Ferocious Howl and this in one turn, you'll basically heal back up the
25. Yeah, that's fine.
So that might be a reason enough. I'm not sure what you cut. I guess you probably cut like the King Feoris or something. But it's I was down on it at first, and then I realized like how much armor 10 armor is. And that's actually significant, so that might be enough to get it back in.
Probably a four, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, let's move on to Hunter. We've got Lock and Load, 2-mana spell. Each time you cast a spell this turn, add a random Hunter card to your hand. I mean, this is another fun card in my book.
Yeah, I missed out on the Lock and Load.
Yeah.
That was a deck back then. And even like Spell Hunter, like I never had Rockdelar until like the very end of when that was about to rotate out. But I mean, it'll be fun. I mean, you do have things like Rapid Fire that can trigger it, and you have like Mark Shot and stuff like that. So, I mean, there are ways you can do that, and maybe with Zul'jin it's good enough to just generate a few more spells to get Zul'jin to do something at the end of a Highlander game. But, I mean, maybe if you're running Hunter's Pack, you run this instead. Like, that's not a big loss. But, it's probably...
I think Highlander Hunter really wants the second card, not the first. So, it's probably a one also now.
Yeah, I think
the second one is Call of the Wild, the big bad hunter spell. 9 mana and summon all 3 animal companions. You get Leok, Misha, and Huffer. And when this was 8 mana, it was insane. At 9 mana, it really saw no play. But I think because Zul'jin now exists, just getting 2 ticks with this thing is really, really good.
I wonder if... I mean, and it wasn't good enough in Wild with everything else that's going on. Hunter just generally isn't good enough in Wild unless it's playing
Sure, sure. Shenanigans.
But I do wonder if we can get, you know, if we can get an extra one out of Zul'jin, if that's worth it. And I mean, as another big bomb, I mean, you can play Bran into Rag into this, into Zul'jin.
Yeah, that's a curve.
That's a curve.
Goodness. And I mean, it's just great because this is proactive with your Huffer. And reactive with Misha, like it just does a lot in one turn, and it'll be
they synergize really well together. Yes. Is the thing, like because the Misha protects the Huffer, and then the Leok pumps it up, and they all kind of work well.
Yeah, in it'll just be interesting to see like similar with I can't remember what it was. Oh, with Nazoth, where like does board state actually become an issue because you have so many spells that generate bodies on the board? But I don't know that I've ever played Zul'jin. Like, I'm not playing Swarm of Locusts in the same deck, I guess, is what I'm thinking. So I think this is probably a 4. It's solid, and it's probably going to see some play.
Oh, okay. So you put Thoros on in your quest, hunter with this, and then you pump them up on the same turn. There you go. That's a little bit of work.
That's I think there are better ways. But,
yeah, I mean, that is 3 minions. It could be in Quest Hunter for all we know. Yeah. I mean, that's you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's easily it's probably a 4 because it's probably only going to be in a Highlander.
I agree.
So, reasonably. Because you can only really fit one of them in.
Next up is Mage, and boy howdy, did Mage get some aggro stuff here. We've got the Babbling Book, 1 mana, 1/1, Battle Cry, add a random Mage spell to your hand, which this is Tome of Intellect with a 1/1. Back then, it got played a lot, and I don't see any reason you don't slot these in.
Yeah, I mean, in the deck that you're going to be playing with the next card, I think we just got to talk about
that together,
because, I mean...
reasons. Flamewaker here is a 3-mana 2/4. After you cast a spell, deal 2 damage randomly split among all enemies. This was the one that in the leaks that we kind of saw, everyone was like, oh, man, if that's real, hold on to your butts, because it's about to go down.
Yeah. And Secret Mage is a real deck in Wild right now, and it plays these, and it does Machine Gun. And, like, Ray of Frost is a card, Magic Trick is a card. There's a lot of cheap spells, as we know, and you could probably just make, like, the deck that we all thought we were going to make when we saw Mana Cyclone, and actually make that deck now. And just, like, spam a bunch of spells, throw out an Apprentice, throw out a bunch of spells, Evocation into Cyclone, and then do it again the next turn. So I expect that will be a deck, and I will be shocked if Flamewaker is not seeing a decent
deck. Every deck, I assume, is going to need an answer for a 4 health minion because Flamewaker is back. And if you let it stick, it is going to be your end very, very, very fast. So, Babbling Book is just really good in Highlander lists, I think, and in these really aggressive builds, because just getting an extra spell in that package is fine. I mean, unless it's like something really costly, but you're happy just to have 1/1 that can contest the board along with that. So in my book, I think Babbling Book's probably like a 3 or 4, and Flamewaker's definitely a 5.
Yeah, I think Babbling Book's probably a 3 because it may just not make it in favor of something like a Magic Trick.
Yeah, I guess Magic Trick is just better.
You want those spells to be.
Yeah. You're
so
right.
That's the only thing that I don't know about. So that might be a 3, but Flamewaker's a 5 for sure. It's going to supply.
Well, let's talk about some secrets here because Paladin has them. This is going to be the most flashback that these cards really get. And we do need to talk about these together too. So Avenge is a 1-mana secret. When one of your minions dies, give a random friendly minion +3/+2. And then we've got Mysterious Challenger to bring out Avenge. 6 mana, 6/6 Battlecry. Put one of each secret from your deck into the battlefield. So you want to remind us about Secret Paladin back in the day, Steve? It's coming.
I repressed all those memories. Secret Paladin was a deck that was a terror because Paladin had a ridiculous curve with things like Muster for Battle and Haunting Creeper and stuff like that. And it would just play a lot of minions on curve, match the numbers, and then it would get to 6, it would pull all these secrets out of your deck. And the reason that Avenge is a big deal is because Avenge works really well with Noble Sacrifice, because your opponent attacks, they summon the Noble Sacrifice, that dies at Proc's Avenge, and then pumps up whatever is on board, which is usually the Mysterious Challenger. So it creates a really difficult board state for your opponent to navigate. So those two things coming back together is really significant. And there's a lot of secret support in Standard right now. There's Mysterious Blade, there's Sunreaver Spy, there's Mass Contender, there's the Bellringer Sentry. There's a bunch of secrets, like, and Commander Ryza also. So, like, there's a lot of good secret synergy, and also just, like, a lot of good low-curve stuff for Paladin to just play and then make this thing a bomb. I would have a really hard time seeing this not seeing play. And clearly they put in Avenge with Mysterious Challenger to make sure.
Yeah, I think that this is the most fun bring back that they did, because these two work so well in tandem, and it's an archetype that really doesn't see play at all. And it's because Mysterious Challenger was so impactful, and you're right, there is a lot of support around it, but this is like the pinnacle of that deck. So it'll be cool to see. It's interesting you mentioned Commander Ryza, because she's been on my mind. She hasn't seen a lot of play, but now with Avenge, like, she's going to do some work if you can set that up right. It'll be really interesting to see. I mean, Mysterious Challenger is deck defining, and I would say Avenge is also. These are probably both fives in my mind.
Yeah, I think so. They're going to go together, and they're both going to go into deck, and I think it's going to be played.
Okay, let's talk about Priest. We got Vol'jin, the 5-mana 6/2 minion, battle cry, swap health with another minion. Where does this fit, Steve?
So this is a control card, because what you're doing is you're developing and you're removing, because you're taking a big health minion, and you're taking its health, and then presumably you have another small minion that can trade it off, or something like a Panax or something. So that's, or a Holy Nova, or I don't remember what.
Five mana.
So you could do that both in the same turn if you have 10 mana. You're generally not going to do that, but Vol'jin was a decent like spot removal card that also developed. It's fine. It might see a place. I'm not super excited about it. Like, even when Control Priest was a thing, like, it was played, but it was kind of fringe. So I don't know if it has a place in decks that we have now, but it's probably okay.
It's interesting that you mentioned Penance, because I hadn't thought about that, but I feel like that makes Vol'jin have a lot more potential, because before you had Shadow Reaper Anduin, where you could just hero power something, I guess. Actually, maybe those two never lived together, because this is Goblins versus Gnomes.
I don't think they did.
Having a way to do that, and Penance is something you can use early in the game, or you can combo with this to just take care of something immediately. So, yeah, I think three is just about right.
Yeah, or you always had Holy
Spike. Yeah, it's just, are you going to run Holy Spike because you have Vol'jin? I don't know. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. The next one is way more exciting. Light Bomb is 6 mana and deal damage to each minion equal to its attack. Tell us why this is the pinnacle of Priest right here in the Halls of Fame.
I'm actually not.
Really? Oh, my gosh. Okay, tell me why.
Yeah, I think that what it's important is because it's a cheaper removal, and it probably replaces Plague of Death. I see people wanting to cut Mass Hysteria, and you never cut Mass Hysteria for this. I think that you may cut a Plague of Death, and maybe two, and go for Light Bombs. But the thing is that there are a lot of big busts in this meta. There's a lot of Combo Priest. There's a lot of, like, 5/8s and stuff like that in Quest Druid, or 3/5s. There are, you know, even, like, the Quest Shaman minions are generally pretty even, but there aren't, like, a lot of big attack, low health minions in this meta. So you have to kind of set it up, and it does generally benefit you as a priest, because that's how your minions are set up, but it generally doesn't do as much as you would like it to do. But it is 6 mana as opposed to the 9 for Plague of Death. So that might be a reason enough to play it, but you're not cutting Mass Hysteria.
Sure.
Mass Hysteria is going to answer a board with like, you know, like a combo priest board where Light Bomb is generally not going to.
It's interesting looking at all of these other cards like Mysterious Challenger, Thing from Below, Ragnaros, Fire Lord, Kuhn, Varian. Like, I'm interested if that does shift things, but I think you're right that based off what we've seen, maybe Light Bomb doesn't have a spot other than a one of. So maybe it's a four depending on the meta.
I think it's a four. I think it's still good, but I think it's still a four. I don't think it's as good as it's not. I think a lot. Like I played with it a lot in Wild, and it was underwhelming more than I would have liked.
Should be interesting. And then Rogue, we've got another couple interesting cards. Swashburglar is a 1-mana 1/1 pirate. Battle cry, add a random card to your hand from your opponent's class. Biggest downside is that he does not pull patches the pirate out of your deck anymore.
Well, it also doesn't have the pill patches. Yeah. So against Rogue, this is not helpful. But it's still a pirate, and you know, if you're, well, I mean, Cook Tusk is really the only pirate synergy we have right now.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, Pilfer's getting run right now in Quest Rogue, and I think you run this over that regardless, because there's going to be enough diversity in the meta that I think, I just playing this guy on turn one was insane back in the day when he would pull patches, and then you could coin out South Sea Captain the next turn, but I don't think you need a full pirate synergistic deck in order to run him. I think you just throw him in and hope that you don't see Valera on the other side of your board.
I mean, you played Swashburglar before you even had
sure.
So, I mean, it was in Karazhan, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And it's, you would play it without, well, you played it before patches. So I think it'll slot into Quest Rogue. I don't know that it's going to work into some of these more aggro. Because, you know, as I've been reminded by people who are better at Rogue than I am, Ferrocrat is still kind of busted.
Yeah.
So you're not going to take out, like,
Ferrocrat. Probably not. I mean, the big thing is, because he's so cheap, it's the same reason you play Ferrocrat. You can also combo in addition to getting a card, you know, really easily. So he's probably like a four, I would say.
Yeah, I think so.
And Shaku the Collector is a 3-mana 2/3 minion with stealth. Whenever this attacks, add a random card to your hand from your opponent's class.
Yeah, this is nuts. This is real. Like, this is going to go in probably every Rogue deck, I would imagine. It used to. Like, it was just good value once we figured out that it was actually a good thing. Like, it went in every, like, it went in Tempo Rogue, it went in, like, I think it even might have made its way into some Miracle Rogue list, if I remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember for sure, but I mean, in any sort of a deck that cares about Vendetta or, you know, any other burgle effects, I think this is a no-brainer. It's potentially repeatable value.
Exactly.
It's a
value-generating machine. And now that we have lackeys, I mean, you give this guy rush, or you give him +2 health and taunt. I guess the taunt you're not excited about, but there's a few different ways that you can even buff him up. So I think it's going to be a shoe-in in just about any deck. So for Rogue. A little bit, I don't know. I don't know what to score it, honestly.
I mean, it's just easy to slot in,
exactly.
Right? I think it's probably a five, because it's just easy to adapt.
I was really excited when I saw him, so I was probably more than most of these other cards, honestly, so I'm okay with doing that. I think that Shaman was the one that took the cake for me, though, when I looked at what was coming. One of them is a 1-mana spell, Evolve. Transform your minions into random minions that cost 1 more. So this is Unstable Evolution's older brother, Mutate. Mutate is what we have now, but, like, for 1 mana, this seems insane comparatively.
And this didn't really, like, hit home until it was pointed out to me by Hockey Boys in the Coin Concede Discord that Desert Hair makes 3 mana opposite itself. So, because, like, that was the only time that Evolve was any good was when you had Double Gangster. And then you were able to, like, get 3/6 drops. And, like, 3/4 drops is still pretty disgusting on turn 4. So that would be the reason that you would do it. But I don't think, like, you're not going to use this on, like, a Mogu Flesh Shaper. I mean, unless you really just need that one extra version of it. But you get enough 2 lackeys. You don't really need to spend another spell if that's all you're doing. But if you are playing something like a Desert Hair, and even Desert Hair, like, works in a
question. Yeah, because it has the Battle Cry.
So, like, you could fit it in. That's another beast you can grab with your Curator.
I think that in something like that, where like you have a lot of stuff that you're trying to throw on the board really quickly, top decking the curator around turn seven could be insane, you know, because you're refilling your hand, you're getting more stuff. So I think Evolve is going to enable some stuff. I would go so far as a five. I wouldn't have given it a five back then, but I think now, based off of what, like, we've seen Mutate be powerful and stuff.
Yeah. I think I'm coming around. I mean, we both gave Mutate a one in that card review also. Yep. So that, you know, we're probably overcorrecting a little bit, but, you know, that's...
Well, and honestly, it's because of this other card too, Thing from Below, which is a 6-mana 5/5 with Taunt, but it costs one less for each totem you've summoned this game. So this is not dependent on it being in your hand. It's just any totems that you've played, either from your hero power or from hand. And we have this really important totem now called Evil Totem. It sees quite a bit of play. So I think Thing from Below is just going to see as much play as it did before.
Yeah, maybe more so in like the Overload Shaman than in Quest Shaman, because I don't know if you have
It doesn't synergize there, but I think the aggro Overload Shaman is kind of what mid-range Token Shaman was trying to do back in the day, and I think it's going to just come back in full force because of this. This is the payoff that you really want, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's going to find a place. I don't know, you know, it may be a new deck. It may just be Token Overload Shaman, but it'll find a place. Definitely. And I mean, it was a pretty busted card for as long as it was in standard. So I expect that.
It's a five for me.
So that's probably a five. Yeah, I was going to go probably to a four just because it's not going to go into every deck, but.
I think that it's going to, well, I don't know. We'll say four.
I mean, I guess it goes with all the Evolve.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Yeah. Because it really enables that archetype, and yet at the same time, we don't need to, I don't think we need to debate it, but it's a good card for sure.
Yeah, it's probably a four, but we can, you know, it's a four and a half, whatever.
That's right. So
we can break the rules here.
You get to rewrite the rules. I'm on your show. I'm just in your world, man.
Yeah.
Next one here is Warlock, Renounce Darkness. 2-mana spell, replace your hero power and Warlock cards with another class's. The cards cost 1-mana less. I mean, this is right in line with Astral Communion, where it's like, there's no reason to bring this back other than for fun, right?
I consider myself a bit of an expert on this card because I actually crafted them in the Old Gods meta because I was convinced that I could make it work. I was very wrong. This is not more than a meme card. Don't do it. Just if you're looking for an 80 gold quest deck, go nuts. Yeah. Otherwise,
and have fun. But it's probably a zero. When we're,
there's not much more to say about it. Yeah, it's a zero. There's nothing more to say
imp
about
game
it.
Imp Gangboss is a 3-mana 2/4 demon. Whenever this minion takes damage, summon a 1/1 imp.
Yeah, this is a big deal for Zoo. Like, Zoo has, like, what is it, Neferseth Thrasher at 3, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I guess that's Magikarp.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
But, like, you know, I mean, this, it's hard to, if you've never played through Zoo in those days, it's hard to overestimate, like, how critical Imp Gang Boss was, especially with things like, Direwolf Alpha and stuff like that. And it's really, having a sticky minion that keeps making more minions is really, really good for Zoo. And it's probably the piece that it's need, because Zoo's never really been the same since it went out of standard. So I'm pretty excited to see what Zoo looks like with it. I may not be so excited in a month.
Yeah. I mean, it's just strong. I even wonder, like, if we're going to see some more demon strategies, because I think it was in the last card review we did. We've started seeing, like, I guess that new classic demon that gives all demons plus one attack. And there was...
Yeah. And also, Inferno,
deal one damage to all enemy minions and give your demons plus one attack. Like, I even Jumbo Imp. Like, I think that Imp Gang Boss, because it can spawn off a few of those little guys, it really can make some strategies interesting. So, he's a shoo-in, period. And I think there's room to innovate and add in some cards that may not have been there before. So, I mean, he's a five on every level for me.
Yeah, I think so. He's definitely going to see play.
And on to the Warriors. We've got Bloodhoof Brave, 4-mana, 2/6 with Taunt, has plus 3 attack while damaged. So I heard that Frightened Flunky was being shelved, and we just need to bring him back. So.
Yeah, and, you know, our Megadillo is a card. Yep. And, this is, I mean, you can work this into an aggro warrior. You can work this into a control warrior. You could probably, like, Freshka had this bizarre, like, aggro taunt warrior with Into the Fray that felt like it was almost good enough. Maybe this is, like, the one piece that it was missing is having, like, an aggressive taunt like this. It was a really good card in Taunt Warrior.
Yeah, and it's a good mid-game tool, right? You've got Fright and Flunky, and you've got Tomb Warden. Armegadillo is almost there, but I think this fills in the gap there. Well, that's literally the gap, 2-4-6-8, right? So it's a good thing we don't have even.
I mean, you do have Restless Mummy, which is effectively a taunt in that it just taunts your opponent.
I think that this is going to see play, and now that Warrior's finally taken a breath of viability, like, this will probably breathe a little life into it. It's probably a 4 for me.
Yeah, I think so. It's a good card. It's going to see it, you know. I mean, I think that all overall, I mean, we've got one more, but I think overall they picked a pretty decent, even if I was a little bit salty when I first saw them, I think they picked a pretty good set overall. Yeah. But we do have one more to go through as I'm driving through my
you're ready. Right, okay. So Varian Wrynn is a 10 mana 7/7 battle cry, draw 3 cards, put any minions you draw directly into the battlefield.
So this only saw play for like a month. In standard, in that Temple Warrior before we figured out the dragons were good in the old gods meta. But I wonder if, like, some of these aggro warriors that are running Octosauri at the top end, like, run this instead. Because Octosauri was a little bit, it's just really awkward to get to happen sometimes. And this is an immediate effect. And you have enough minions in your deck. And even if you don't hit minions, you still get the spells in your hand. So it still draw 3 regardless. It just so happens that it puts those things into the battlefield, and you have plenty of things with Rough Charge in your deck that can make that a big deal.
And you know what? Today, I actually watched Dexter tinkering around with Dimensional Ripper Warrior. And I'm not saying it's a thing, but I am saying that you, like, this makes it a better thing. So I think it's an interesting one. It's not very obvious where he goes. But I'm a fan of at least some of these cards being experimental in nature, and I'm excited to play with him at least, because he never really saw a good day necessarily back then. He's probably a 3 in my book, where he's got potential, but he's not really good. Maybe even a 2, honestly.
Well, I think he's going to slot into Highlander Warrior, because Highlander Warrior is like ultimately a thing. And it feels like
I guess you're right that it really is an Octosauri with much less or more immediate results, even if it's less cards. 3 cards is a lot. So
3 cards is probably enough at that stage.
Yeah, you're just trying to win. So yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
All right. So I mean, how do you feel now? I know that I was unhappy on Friday. I'm a little less I'm a little less unhappy having talked through them. I feel better. I said to you when we were planning this and we were thinking about recording on Friday night, and I said at the time, I think I'm glad that I didn't, because I would have been much saltier. But I think that the worst thing that happens is that this meta turns into a clown fiesta, and then it's only with us for a couple months and then these cards go away, which I think is better than the mech buffs at the end of the day.
Yeah, I feel like they did a good job getting a diverse set of cards where not everything is just completely defining, but there are some nice pairs here. There are some interesting cards that never really saw good play. I don't know. It seems like stuff like Flame Waker and maybe even Mysterious Challenger are so good that they're really going to warp the meta pretty intensely. But, you know, they fixed stuff in the past, and I assume, like, 2 months is a long time, but I would think that they'll jump in if something really is too bad. But it's fun. I'm excited, if nothing else, that this is just going to be a very different meta from anything we've ever had in the past. And I think that in the future, we'll be excited to have another day like this potentially. So, than anything, I'm almost horrified that we did a full set review in 30 minutes more than anything. You know, so.
Well, you know, it's only 20 cards compared to 130. So, I think the other thing that I've been thinking about the last couple days is that I've been saying for a meta to shift when a new set comes out, you need to take stuff away at the same time. And this is a way to do that. Because, like, you're adding these cards in, but you're also taking them away. So you're taking them away when the new set comes out. So that is going to make the new set feel fresh, even if it's not, you know, even if it's just additive, because you're also taking away things that we've been playing for the past 2 months. So that in and of itself kind of makes it a new dynamic that I'm pretty excited to see. Even if the next 2 months aren't great, and I think they're probably better than I initially thought they would be, like, I think this is going to make the third set much more impactful than it normally is.
And it'll be weird for that, having a time where those are being taken out, I guess. I hadn't really thought that far ahead. It is weird that Savers of Uldum has been such a diverse meta that for us to get this kick in the pants, you know, just a month into it, I feel like there are other periods I would have much rather had this than now, but I'm still really excited.
Yeah, I am too. I think this will be good once I kind of settle down.
And yeah, for sure.
Because after I got over why Flame Waker, I felt a lot better.
Yeah.
All right. So since I've done like three or four loops around my head, Natalie Drew, why don't you tell everyone who the three people who listen to this show who don't know where to find you, where they can find you, and the Happy Hearthstone.
Sure, you can go. You can find me on Twitter at Andrew is Living, and you can search for the Happy Hearthstone in whatever app you're listening to this in, and you can probably find it, or you can go to thehappyhearthstone.com. And I'm really excited for BlizzCon coming up. We'll do like a BlizzCon prediction episode, like we usually do, so that'll be fun. And thanks for having me on for mini review. I could do this as many times as you need me to, Steve. This is a breath of fresh air.
Well, we may have to. It looks like we might have to. So I'm glad to hear that. I couldn't review cards without my partner.
It's a good time,
man. I'm really happy that we were able to make it work. And also I'm excited for BlizzCon. So make sure to come out to World of Podcasts if you're going to be there, and come see both of us. And that's going to be at 6:30 on the 31st. So come in your best Halloween garb or don't, whatever. And of course, you'll be able to find everything on offcurve.com, which is, we'll have show notes and links. And also, I am working on a new dashboard for the Conquest Masters Tour qualifiers. So that will be up there as well once that's finished. You can also follow the show's account at offcurve. You follow me at wickedgood. There's discord.offcurve.com. twitch.offcurve.com. Leave a review on iTunes. Support the show if you're feeling generous. And other than that, enjoy the new meta once it comes tomorrow, and be good to each other. We'll talk soon. Have a good one.
Bye.